Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Hey guys, can we thank our band and tech team? Appreciate you guys. Sounded so good. Sometimes you can forget that there's some people out back there in the dark that are doing all the slides and the sound levels and everything. I've been that person before, and you only notice them if something goes wrong. Actually, there was one time our speaker at a camp I used to work at, his son was younger than you guys at the time. He was probably, I would guess, like 8. None of you were 8. And he was like, hey, my son really wants to do a dance for the talent show. They had a talent show, and he was like, what if we played like a Justin Bieber song? He really loves Justin Bieber. So I got it on my phone, and I plugged it in, and I was playing it, and it was just the best like break dancing I've ever seen before, especially by an 8-year-old. And so I was like, I should record this on video. And so I went to record it with my phone that was also playing the Justin Bieber song. And you guys know what happened. When you record a video, audio, if it's playing, stops. And so it stopped, and everybody turned back and looked at me and was like, boo, how dare you? And people in the tech booth only, you only notice them if something goes wrong, so make sure to thank them for being back there. So it's an honor to be with you this morning. How'd you guys sleep last night? All right. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but before we get into it, just a couple, there's some opinions. Okay, a couple life updates. You guys have my slides. A couple life updates for me. So I would love it if I could get paid to sleep. It would be my dream job. Another life update. So my wife, she likes the warm weather, but if she overheats, she likes me to blow on her. But honestly, I'm not a fan. I don't know if you guys heard about this thing. Have you heard about this thing? Police arrested the world tongue twister champion. It's likely he'll get a tough sentence. Okay, so those are just dumb jokes. Good morning to wake you up a little bit. So I'm curious, so how did you guys sleep? Did you sleep okay? I think probably the first night at camp, like, we slept well. It wasn't because of the temperature in the room or the softness of the bed or anything like that. But it's just like the first night jitters and excitement, it's common for people not to sleep the best. But I bet you'll sleep well tonight. If you guys ever run into this problem, because it's happened to me before, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I start to worry, or I start to think about things that I could be anxious about, things that I don't need to be worrying about, things that are out of my control, especially at like 3 or 4 in the morning. I came across this verse earlier this year, and it says this: unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. This is Psalm 127, 1 and 2. The second verse says, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. So I want to encourage you guys that I think this section means when it says, for he gives to his beloved sleep, that God is saying that he gives you sleep. Those who he loves, he gives you sleep. And maybe you've had a sleepless night, or you would say, like, I didn't sleep at all last night, but I bet you slept a little bit. Remember that God is working, and it's not up to you to build the things in your life, all of them. He's in control. So if you have trouble sleeping tonight, just think about that kind of thing. So that's free. That's not part of our message formally. But today we're going to get back into a familiar passage that you guys have seen before, I bet. We're going to talk about the kind of king that Jesus is. And in fact, there's no other king that this term can be used for. We're going to be in John chapter 1, so you guys can turn there if you want to, and we're going to be looking at that. Before we read it, I want to make a couple things clear. And so as we talk about these kingly traits, do you guys need, are you good? Everybody here? Okay. Yeah, John chapter 1. I'll have it on the screen again, but did you guys bring your Bibles? Let me see them. Hold them up if you brought your Bibles. Did you bring them? I heard that you're supposed to bring to Camp Chapels a Bible, a pen, a notebook, and a friend. Okay, so it rhymes, so it must be true. A Bible, a pen, a notebook, and a friend. A Bible, a pen, a notebook, and a friend. A Bible, a pen, a notebook, and a friend. You guys are catching on. Okay, good. That's good. All right, you can stop now. All right, we're going to be in John 1, but I just want to preface this before we get into it. As we talk about these kingly traits, you'll notice how they kind of build upon each other. Last night we talked about how Jesus is the promised king, and for generations of people, he was prophesied about. I went a little bit into that, but I didn't talk as much as I had planned. And sometimes that's going to happen because I'm not perfect, and also because God's Spirit may allow you guys to have some questions and you to talk about it after chapel. This is large group chapel, but you guys do small group. You do cabin devotionals. And so if you have questions or if there's something that I say that it just doesn't quite make sense or you feel like it might be against what God's Word says, I've said stuff from, not like completely heretical stuff, but I've like mixed up, like the other week when we were at school, I said something about like, obviously Matthew 10 comes after Matthew 11. And I meant to say the other way around, and some kids are like, that's not the case. And so if there's something that's said from me, write it down and make sure you guys talk about it. But we're going to get into specifically talking about different types of kings. And with promised king, we'll see it come up a couple times during chapel. So John the Baptist knew God's heart and his word so well that he was expecting these promises to be fulfilled in Jesus. We'll talk more about that. And each one, as we talk about the different kingly traits that Jesus exemplifies. Hey, boys, you doing all right? Doing good? Yeah? Okay, good. Those build on each other, and so we'll be talking about that. So that's the first thing I wanted to just share with you. Second, before we get into the chapter of John, let's understand a little bit, first chapter of John, let's understand a little bit more about who wrote it. So last night we also talked about John the Baptist and John the disciple who wrote the Gospel of John. So two different people. John the disciple who wrote the Gospel of John, in writing this gospel, and really it's just a biography of Jesus, a story about Jesus, John could have used a fancy title for himself, but he didn't. He could have even used his name when he wrote about himself and the other disciples, but he didn't. Instead, he just chose to call himself the disciple whom Jesus loved, which I think is a pretty sweet thing. So as you're reading through John, if you get a chance to read through it, you'll see him refer to himself a couple times that way. And from the way that he writes about Jesus, you can tell he really loves Jesus too. So let's look at that. There's Psalm 127. Let's look at John 1. We'll start in 1 through 5. Who would like to read John 1, 1 through 5? Your hand was like, you were ready. You knew I was going to ask. What's your name? Allie? Adley. Would you read John 1, 1 through 5? Thanks, Adley. I appreciate you. Round of applause for Adley. Good job. So some of this at first glance might seem a little strange. Maybe you guys have heard this section. You've read this section. You've heard it preached on before. But it might seem a little strange or confusing. So who is John talking about? What's the deal with this word? And why does it seem to be personified? Here the word is capitalized because John is talking about someone specific. Who is it? It's Jesus. So, and that's the easiest answer. We're back to Sunday school. It's Jesus is right. So John is saying that Jesus was God and he was there in the beginning. He was around before there was time and when time was created. And not only the creation of time, but the creation of everything. He was in relationship with God, but he also was God. All things were made through him. Nothing was made without him. Animals, plants, stars, energy, all things in our natural world, they were created through Jesus. So Jesus, aka the Word of God, creates. So it's easy to see how in him there was life, and that life is the light of men. Have you guys ever met somebody before? Maybe it's happened this week. You've met someone for the first time, and you just see like their face kind of radiates. They kind of shine. They kind of are just like, they've got something about them that's different. Have you ever met somebody like that before? And maybe that's been said about you before. So I think that that's true. So there's some people that I've come to meet who just shine in a way that you know there's something different about them, and you can just see the light of Christ shining on them and shining to everybody that they meet. And even through darkness, even through things that can normally overcome you, through circumstances that are tough, This person's not fazed for it, from it. And the lightness, the light makes the darkness flee. I think, I got to think that's what it's like to know Jesus and abide in him. He's the light to a dark, dark world. And regardless of circumstances that can cause life to get dark, that dark cannot be overcome. That dark cannot overcome his light. So now we're going to hear again about John the Baptist. And let's read that. Who would like to read John 1, 6 through 13? Would you read it in the back? What's your name? Maya, you got to be loud. Can you be loud? All right, do it, Maya. Oh, sorry, Maya, we're too far. Start again. Thank you, Maya. Let's hear it for Maya. Thanks for reading for us. I'll pivot to this side of the room later, I promise. So here we hear the purpose that John the Baptist came. He was just a voice, as we heard about yesterday, pointing people to Jesus. He was not the light. He just came to bear witness about the light. Toward the end of John's gospel, he concludes in chapter 20 with something similar. John the disciple says that this book is written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. So you see John the Baptist not just paving way for the way for Jesus, but for all believers, for them to believe. John the author and disciple says that that's why he dedicated himself to painstakingly write this beautiful account, such a beautiful gospel to read, on account of Jesus' life, so that we'll believe and we'll have life in his name. Okay, so this next section that Maya started to read, I'm sorry, we're going to have to go to the side. I got to be fair to these guys too. This next section that we're going to have to read is one of my favorite Christmas verses, actually. And we're about the opposite of Christmas right now. Today's a little chilly. God bless you guys. Who's doing swim tests today? It's not quite a polar plunge. It's like a grizzly plunge, but enjoy that. It's good for you. It'll be invigorating. So who would like to read, we're a little too far, John 1, 14 through 18. Do it. I wanted somebody up front. We'll get to you guys eventually. What's your name? Luke. Would you read? Thank you. Nailed it. Thank you, Luke. So the Word became flesh. Everybody say, okay, you guys, that's good. Luke did good, but that's enough. Everybody say, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. In this section, John concludes his incredibly poetic introduction to this biography, to this gospel of Jesus, with some of the most beautiful words. The Word became flesh. God himself became a man in the person of Jesus. The immortal Son of God took on humble flesh. He came into a stable in Bethlehem. He was born of a lowly peasant girl. He was born into poverty, and born because of his love for his own. And he also dwelt among us. Everybody say dwelt. We don't use the word dwelt. We don't talk about like, hey guys, I'm just going to go dwell over here for a little while. If you want to come dwell with me, you can. We don't say that very often, but that word was used back then, and actually it's a translation of another word. So when he says that the Word came and dwelt among us, that word dwell in Greek literally means that Jesus would have pitched his tent among us. Okay, and that's also kind of funny to think about, like, pitching a tent. So, like, I'm going to go over here and pitch a tent. Like, we don't do that. Some of you guys might camp. Does anybody like to camp? Do you guys go camping? My wife and I love to go camping, and we have a tent, and it takes forever to put it up, and it's definitely could be, if we're not careful, a source of an argument. Like, that pole doesn't go there, okay? Like, so, but we've grown in that. We're almost 6 years married, so we're better than we've been at setting up a tent. But this actually means that Jesus, so he doesn't actually set up a tent. It's not what they're talking about. The original hearers of this gospel think of another important dwelling place. They think about the tabernacle. This could be translated as he tabernacled among us. The tabernacle of the Old Testament was a place meant to signify God's presence. It was a place that people went to encounter God, to make sacrifices to God, to dwell in his presence. Here John is saying that Jesus is that. He's the physical presence of God in the flesh. So this is where we get our kingly trait for this morning's message. We say that Jesus is our incarnate king. Have you guys ever had carne asada before? Oh, man, did I pronounce it right? Carne. Is that better? Carne. It's delicious. Okay, so who's eaten it before? What is it? It's not a salad. What is it? I think it's a type of steak. Can anybody? You guys look it up in the back and let us know later. You can check the, okay, thank you. So carne asada, but is it vegetables? What is it? It's meat. Okay. Have you guys ever heard the word carnal before? Carnal? Not carnival. Carnal. So when we say incarnate, those were some of the root words of incarnate. Incarnate means, the word literally means to make flesh. So when we say Jesus Christ is God incarnate, we mean that the Son of God literally took on flesh, bodily form. And verse 14 is the one that people reference as evidence of this. So Jesus was both God and man. He was not 50% God and 50% man. We believe that he was 100% God and 100% man. And like some things in our world, that's a bit of a mystery, right? We don't do good in our Western modern culture with mystery. But there's other mysterious things that we get a little lumped into with Jesus. And so maybe you've grown up believing in this guy. You guys are going to have to click for me. This one's not working. Santa Claus. So maybe you've grown up believing that Santa is part of your Christmas tradition. And I'm not here to dispel that belief, but I'm choosing to call Santa, as we go through chapels this week, we're going to have Jesus is this type of king, and then we're going to have a counterfeit king. Everybody say counterfeit king. So today's counterfeit king is Santa Claus. So I'm choosing Santa for this one because although there are some silly similarities to Jesus with Santa, if you think about it, the more that you wonder about Santa, the more that you really can't know. He appears only once a year. You may get things from him, but you really never know him. He doesn't ever do anything with you. You guys good? I hear some talking over there. You got any questions? Good? Okay, thanks. You're distracting me, so quiet, please. Thank you. So you can really never know him. He doesn't ever do anything with you, but instead he provides things for you. So there's a big difference, the with and the for. If you could do something for someone, that's great. If you could do something to someone, that's okay. If you could do something with them, that's much better. So on the other hand, that isn't, Jesus isn't that kind of king. Jesus is the incarnate king. As we said already, there are certain things that Jesus put into motion in the creation of the natural world. In fact, by his word and by his authority, he authored it. He creates seeds that turn into living things that even produce more seeds to produce more living things. There's order in our universe and there's laws of the natural world, and he created all that. But there are some things that seem unnatural or mysterious or even supernatural in our world that we can't explain. Jesus' incarnation, his resurrection, his miraculous birth, his eternal existence, how he performed miracles. All those things were promises from the Old Testament, and Jesus fulfilled those, thus making him the promised king, like we talked about last night. He was also fully human, God incarnate. So he was born after being miraculously conceived. He experienced aging. He felt pain. He had physical needs. He got dirty and he probably got stinky. It's funny to think about, but he probably got stinky. The disciples probably smelled that. He had human emotions. He learned. He grew in wisdom and stature. He died a physical death. He was human in every way except for sin. So he's God incarnate. He's the incarnate king. On top of that, the best part of it all is that Jesus, who conquered sin and death and lives eternally, he wants to have a relationship with you. Jesus, the creator of this world, who has shown us his divine attributes and his eternal power and divine nature ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, God in the flesh, living the living world, the light of the world, wants to know you and wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants to give you good gifts. And not because you've been good or bad, naughty or nice. In fact, he knows that you've not been good. He knows that all of us fall short of his glory, but when we have a relationship with him, he starts to change us. Change us. That's a tongue twister. He starts to change us. He starts to make us more like him and for his kingdom purposes. If you've started a relationship with him and you've been trying to be good enough while people are watching just to get on the nice list or just to get the latest Xbox or iPhone or hover thingy or Oculus Rex or whatever they're called. What are they called? Oh, okay, I was close. Those things only get you so far. And by putting those on the throne of your heart, you'll be severely disappointed in those gifts. Have you guys ever gotten a present at Christmas or your birthday that, like, a couple days later, you're just like, all right, I'm done with this. What else are we going to do? You know, like, are the batteries run out? Or, like, you play through this game or you ride your bike or whatever, and then you're like, okay, I want something else. That's because those things, they may be exciting at one point, but if they're sitting on the throne of your heart, they're going to disappoint because that's not where they're supposed to be. Now, there can be things that you enjoy and that can lead you closer to God, but they have to lead you closer to God in thanksgiving of him that he provided those. In Exodus, Moses asked to see God's glory. Really cool section, Exodus 33. I don't have a slide, but you can turn there if you want to. He asked to see God's glory, and he's told that God is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And in Exodus 33:18-23, it says that Moses said, "Show me your glory." And God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place where you shall stand on the rock, and I will put my glory will pass by. I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." So Moses, he would meet with God, and he wouldn't see God's face. But it says in Exodus 34, the next chapter, that when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, when he was meeting with God, Moses' face was shining. And it was shining so brightly, he had to put a veil over his face. You guys know what a veil is? And so a lot of brides will come down the aisle before they're married, and they'll have a veil over their face. And so he would put a veil over his face because it was shining so brightly. Because of this time with God, he was changed. Everyone knew it, and the light of life radiated off of him and gave glory to the Father in heaven, but he never saw God face to face. But God, in his infinite wisdom and according to his beautiful plans, saw fit to send his only son, Jesus, to this earth to dwell among us, to tabernacle among us, and to put on flesh, and to put on the same burdens that we put on. No other religion can claim a God like that. If you guys have friends, or if you yourself have looked into, okay, maybe I'm going to check out what do other people believe? It's okay to look at those things and to see, like, how different they are. That's one of the reasons we're contrasting counterfeit kings with the real one. They say that when somebody is a counterfeit detective, or they try to find, like, okay, are these dollars real or fake? And so probably not $1 bill, but like hundreds. What they do is they don't go out and they don't study all the other counterfeit bills. Instead, they study the one true bill. And they know, because they know the one true bill, whether or not all the other ones are fake. No other God would put on flesh and choose to come and be part of our same condition and experience the struggles that we experience and the burdens that we experience. Jesus is the only one. Every other belief system says, if you get all these things right, you'll be enough. You can make it to the afterlife. You can get put on the nice list. But even if you get what you want, you're not going to be satisfied. Jesus came not so we could get whatever we want. How good of a parent would your parent be? Or how good of a counselor would your counselor be if they said, you guys can do whatever you want? Can you imagine what that would be like? Chaos. That's a good word for it. I agree. It would be chaos. Instead, Jesus gave us what we needed. Sometimes he gives us what we want, but I think he puts the desires into our hearts the more we follow him. He shed his blood as a sacrifice for us so he could forgive us of our sins and so we could have a right relationship with him. He came to heal, to perform miracles, and to meet with us. He did stuff for us, but he also wants a relationship with us, face to face. If you've got anything else that is sitting on the throne of your heart, just take a little advice from this old familiar hymn as we close. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let me pray for you.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.